Welcome to the Circle Sessions featuring the Circle of Experts. Each week, one of the Circle of Experts joins me to talk about critical aspects of growing your podcast. The Circle of Experts are Yasmin Robles and Izzy Dadosky from Rebel Marketing, Tanisha English-Amamu of TJE Communications, and Don the Idea Guy. I'm Brett Johnson, my podcast guy from Circle 270 Media Podcast Consultants. This week, Yasmin and Izzy are here. They work alongside clients to design a website that's driven by strategy, looks amazing, and that you can use to grow your podcast, and then in turn, your business as well. Yasmin and Izzy, thanks for joining me today.
It's been so long.
Yeah, thank you.
It just always feels that way, doesn't it? Exactly, exactly. I think it's always interesting to kind of keep on top of other podcasts that are talking about marketing tactics and what's the hot thing right now. And there's always, for me in my world in podcasting, there's always the, you know, talking to other professionals in the space about what their best tactics are right now and that kind of thing. But it always takes away from the, it's working for them. It doesn't necessarily mean it's going to work for you. And some of them are just a waste of time. And I like how you're putting this episode title, The Most Overrated Marketing Tactics Right Now, or known as Stop Wasting Your Money on This BS. True, because there is a lot of shyster crap out there that is like, no, it sometimes a quick fix is not a quick fix. Let's put it that way. So let's talk about the problem with overhyped marketing tactics. And we've talked about this too with our with things we do. We don't want to get too overhyped, you know, and it's like, whoa, that's not even your personality, you know, that sort of thing. But let's talk about, those tactics.
Yeah, so I can dive into the first one. I mean, most of these that we're going to talk about today, it's to save you money and to save you a headache, because it's not going to do much for your business, your podcast or blog. So the first one that we had was boosting posts. And this is my biggest one, because you're basically throwing away your money you're basically donating your money. It's so easy to just boost a post. And that's why a lot of people fall into that trap. But it doesn't have, because it doesn't have any strategy or anything in its foundation, you're basically putting in your card number and clicking boost post. It's really just what we call in marketing vanity metrics. So that's, maybe you'll get more likes on the post. Maybe more people will see it, but it won't necessarily lead to people signing up for like your event, your sale. People might not necessarily want to go to your boutique or your e-commerce store. They might not sign up for your membership. It doesn't do much except maybe try to expose your post to certain people. But when you actually create a strategy and run a targeted, like an actual ad strategy or campaign, and it's targeted to the right people, you have a landing page, for example. So let's say you are hosting an event. You run these posts. You could even do A/B testing. You can run multiple posts at the same time to see which audience is doing better. And you're leading people to a landing page. Well, now you can retarget those same people if they didn't sign up for your event or your sale or whatever it is that you are promoting. And there's a lot more in the metrics that you can read and see what was working, what wasn't working. Was it the headline on the ad? Was it the landing page? You can duplicate landing pages and see which ones are working better and almost run like an A/B test. And you can test a lot more about your audience and customize them and retarget them. Retargeting basically means you're targeting them again. So they went to your site or they saw a post, they clicked on something, but they didn't take action. So you can target them again versus just boosting a post and maybe like some random person somewhere else that can't make it to your event or to your sale or whatever it may be will see it. And they might like it because they like the picture, but they're not necessarily going to convert. So what's the point of spending that money? So I would say focus on the engagement and community building, like those organic interactions. And if you're going to spend your money, you're going to want to run tests, and then you're going to want to run the actual ad campaign. Make sure you have enough of a budget to do that and do it strategically so you get a better bang for your money.
Gotcha. So what was the original thought behind a boost? on Meta? Has it evolved? Has it changed?
No, I've never seen it do anything. When I first started out as a marketer, you know, we did that. I never saw, like, you get more likes. So if you want, you got to go in it with eyes wide open. So if you're saying, okay, this post was doing really well, I just want to get more likes on it.
Okay.
Okay. Boost the post. It's like $10, right? You can boost the post, but depending on how many times you're boosting a post per year, maybe you can just run a 2-week ad campaign. And instead of just getting eyes on a post, you actually send them to your e-commerce store. Or if you're a podcaster and you're selling merch, or you run, I don't know, you're trying to create a membership site, it would be a lot better for you to spend your money on a really thought out strategic ad campaign instead of going, huh, that post is doing pretty good. Let me throw $10-$20 at it. Mm-hmm. It feels like $10-$20 is not that much. I mean, in this economy, I don't know anymore. Maybe that'll get you like one egg, but maybe save that.
Yeah.
Get yourself an egg breakfast.
Yeah. Well, it depends on your ROI. What do you want from $10 and what's it mean for you? You know? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. Yeah. So, I was under the impression, and tell me if I'm wrong, is that if I start to follow a company, I don't necessarily get to see everything that they post in a timely fashion. Okay. Does boosting break that you get to reach more of the people that are following you?
No.
Yeah,
no.
But it...
Okay, I don't know. I'm asking from a pure... How do you get... Let's say you have 100 followers and Facebook's really only feeding 40 of them consistently. How do you get to the additional 60 other than it's just Facebook's not going to allow you to do it, if that's it?
My question would be, okay, let's say you have 100 followers, only 40 of them are really seeing your posts. Are those... Are the other 60 followers, they likely to become clients? Like, are they just like your mom following you on social media?
Well,
right?
That's another way of looking. And you know, it's that perspective of knowing what's against you, but what does it really mean? It means, well, so you're saying the 40 are really engaged and that's really who you want to feed. The other 60 are kind of outliers. You don't want to necessarily neglect them, but they're going to be fed what you posted eventually, but maybe not in a timely fashion. Okay.
At the end of the day, I would say you have to take a look at a lot of different factors instead of just boosting a post first. Is it the graphics? Is it that you're not posting videos? Is it that the graphics look kind of spammy? Like maybe you took a random template and you didn't even customize it to look like yours. You just put other text on there.
Okay.
Do you never post behind the scene photos or, you know, what are exactly you're posting? What are your captions like? Are you using location to tag your posts? There's a lot more that will go into it. And then you can say, okay, maybe we can boost a post, or maybe the people that are following you are just not qualified. Like, they're just friends of friends of friends, mm-hmm. or people that you met once at a networking event, but they're not necessarily going to become a client.
Okay.
Like, I wouldn't want to boost a post and then other marketing agencies see it. Like, why would I want them? Mm-hmm. They're not going to hire us, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They might see it on accident if I do an ad strategy and maybe they're stalking us, but I would rather other business owners that are qualified leads would see our ad campaigns.
Gotcha. No, and I ask it from the point of view that a lot of podcasters think that all they have to do is slap something up on Facebook and then that's it. But there's no return to it. None at all. They don't get any likes. They don't get any reposts or comments or anything like that. And you've explained a really great scenario of look at what you really do post. Great. I mean, seriously. And then not worry about the boosting. And it goes right back to, boosting is not going to take care of it. It may be what you just put initially. Great, a perfect answer. And again, I wanted to confirm that in my mind as well, too, from more of a professional who works in this all the time. You know, I'm outside looking in, you're inside looking out to a certain degree. So much, much better. So the next one you want to talk about, the post every day syndrome. So Izzy, can you talk about why it's overrated?
Yeah, for multiple reasons. So one, sometimes it just does not fit certain companies and what they do. For us, we post almost every day just because we have a lot of content and we go to a lot of things, and we also offer that as a service. So it makes sense that we almost post every day. But for everybody else, that doesn't always make sense. So it's like, how many times a week do you need to be posting? Probably at least 2 or 3, okay? But you don't need to be constantly posting throughout the week. And like, also different days range in different ways about who is going to be online and if it's even worth it to post in the first place. So like, sometimes on Fridays, we won't get a lot of engagement until Monday, till everybody's back into the office on Monday. Exactly. Or during the weekend, why would I post on LinkedIn? Most people are not on LinkedIn typically during the weekend. I am, because I'm a loser, but that's it. I have to play my daily tango game. You know what I'm saying? But like,
well, I mean, it depends, Izzy, right? So like, if you're, let's say you're a career consultant, right? You're helping people fix their resumes. They might be on LinkedIn.
Yeah.
But the entrepreneur might not
targeting.
Be. Yeah.
That right. too. Yeah. So also, it just doesn't guarantee more engagement or followers if you're posting every day. Some people will probably sometimes even think you're annoying with how much you're posting, and maybe they will unfollow you. Because it's also...
Yeah, to your point that if it's just crap that you're just doing because somebody told you need to do every day, well, then you're going to get in that mindset of like, okay, I know that some things are just not going to be great. You fall into a trap of like, most of your stuff's not going to probably then.
Yeah.
You're right. Yeah. And I see that just like you do.
Yeah.
It's just like, wow, that was not, scroll, you know, that's right. It didn't catch my attention. Yeah.
And if, you know, it's not going to help you posting every day, because then you might lose followers. Your engagement might be lower because they're like, I just saw a post from them 2 scrolls up. It's just, you need to be careful with how much you are posting, because make it make sense with what you're doing and your brand. But also, if it's not like, it's also difference in content. Like for us, I don't post the same brick of something every day. Like, I do videos and different ways to break up the content. But if you're posting the same thing, you're wasting your time. And then you're also like not getting any interaction from it, because the person feels like they've seen it 20 times already. So,
well, and it's an easy way to avoid burnout as well, too.
Yeah.
How many weeks, months in a row can you keep up that marathon?
Yeah. So
if
I would
you
say
don't, if you like, don't have the content created, like you said, you have a bank full of content, you guys do, but it's one of those, if you're just stretching, what be realistic in that realm too.
Yeah.
Do what you can do. Yeah. Yeah. That makes sense. That makes sense.
So instead I would just post 2 to 3, maybe even 4 if you want to really bad quality posts that are like different in other ways, not the same grid post, or make one informational and one funny, just like whatever makes sense for your business, and make sure that other people within your company are engaging with it too, so that it reaches their networks as well. And I think some people are kind of missing out on that portion of it too. Like it's just one like, or it's just one share, but it could make a big difference with, you know, people and your engagement and how it is. And yeah, so.
Yeah,
the lift is not that heavy, right?
Yeah, I would think of one of my crushes for social media is Duolingo, which I think we've talked about. I don't know if on this podcast, but we've talked about it a couple times, Izzy and I. They interact, and a lot of brands do it too. You could say maybe don't post every day, but maybe take a little bit of time and interact with the people that follow you or that mention you. That goes a long way too. Don't just post and leave, right? Yeah. Just maybe interact as your company on other posts. If somebody shares a win, you know, congratulate them. If it's something that's funny, Duolingo does a pretty good job at some humorous posts. But I think interact with the people that follow you can also go a long way, because it humanizes you, and then they will more than likely interact. And that's just going to get the algorithm to show your content to more people.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So email blasts, strategy. If you don't have one, let's say, you know, what's overrated about doing emails you know, the wrong way, I guess you could say. What don't you do? What shouldn't you do?
I can start.
Okay,
I'm sorry. So who has unsubscribed from a newsletter in this current conversation? So that shows that you need to be doing email blasts in the correct way and also not as frequent, because the amount of emails I've gotten from, let's probably say, hundreds of companies over the years where it's like, if they're in my inbox again, they have already notified me like 3 times this week, unsubscribe. Nobody wants to be spammed with emails. Now, I do have some companies where it's like where they email me, I'm like, ooh, I need to immediately open that, because it's like they're either offering something that I want, they have news on what's coming out about something, or I'm actually interested in the stuff that they produce, or just different things. If it's not that, you are probably going in my spam folder or the delete folder. So you need to understand who is currently subscribed to your email, what they are subscribed for, what do they want to see, and is this just them sending out a generic email to everybody that's part of this email list? Is my name even at the top of it, which is crazy? Different things like that. So that's what I would say.
Yeah, you you mentioned in here too that, you know, the newsletter format is boring and can get ignored too. And I've been advising, and it's been working, podcasters, I've been working with some clients as well too, of look at that newsletter, not just promote your next episode, but give make that newsletter a FOMO, fear of missing out of something, or the opportunity to expand your personality. It may have nothing to do with the podcast, but it's something to do with maybe one step that next to the podcast. I mean, for example, potentially working with an attorney in California that all she focuses on is passports, you know, going from country to country, that sort of thing. And mostly it's work in Canada. So she's in California and works with that borderline there. So we're looking at putting together a newsletter that, yeah, would talk about her podcast, but let's talk about destinations in Canada that are fun to go to. I mean, that's why you're listening, is because you have a passport. Yeah. You're going to Canada. So it's like, why not talk about destinations in Canada? Yeah. So it's take it the next step. Why would somebody want to subscribe? Because if they're already following your podcast in the podcast discussion here, they're already getting your podcast. So why would they need to know what's coming up next?
Yeah,
it's that. Or unless you're looking at the newsletter as a reminder, hey, it's in your phone, ready to listen to. That's valid. Mm-hmm. That is, or give an outline of it. Or it's just one of those, okay, TLDR kind of thing. It's too long, didn't read kind of feel, or didn't listen, you know, sort of thing. Okay, give the synopsis of it at least, but some click-throughs. Again, having, like you said, a strategy, you know, with that. And I do like your, like you said, having that segmentation about, you know, based on the click-throughs of what you've set up in your email. That can be a lot of fun, because then you're really, you know, creating newsletter or emails that are specific to something you discussed, or maybe it's a theme that you're with your podcast, or you're, you know, something you're selling through your podcast or something, or your business, whatever it might be, that you're talking directly to that audience, versus like we talked about with social media, you're just shooting out there and kind of hoping. you know what's going on. And then
I was just going to say, like, with us, we send out a monthly newsletter every month, clearly. But the way I kind of play around with that is just think of different ways to get people to open up the email. So, like, you can always play around with it, too. Like, I think last month, the subheader was, like, you probably won't even open this. Like, guilt trip.
I love it. I love
this
it.
This month, exactly. Maybe it'll be, like, wanted. And it's a leprechaun. You don't know. But imagine that coming across your inbox, like wanted man with red hair or like something like that. And then it's from us. And you're like, what? And then you click on it and you're like, oh, okay. Right. Well, I'm already here. Might as well read it. I don't know.
Exactly. Yeah. Got my attention. Let's go. Exactly. Yeah. So your next myth, the SEO keyword stuffing myth. So let's talk about why is it overrated?
I don't know why people keep asking if this, like, you should not be keyword stuffing. And what keyword stuffing means is basically, let's say you have a list of keywords that you want to rank for, and you're just going to start either putting them into your content awkwardly. So it's, let's say you want it, you're a restaurant and you want to be found in Columbus, Ohio. Every other sentence is going to have the word Columbus, Ohio, and it just, it's going to get annoying. You can also do other things like that are more black hat SEO, where it's like you take those keywords and you hide the text, like you make the text white on a white background. That's also a big no-no. But you just don't do it. It's not a thing. It's like every website should be responsive. You should not be keyword stuffing. I feel like this should be already known and tattooed on your forehead. Brands, they keep thinking that the more keywords they have, it equals better rankings. But really what it should be is keywords that are strategic. And keyword stuffing just makes things hard to read. So it's not about the keywords. It's really about the user experience and the value that you're bringing with the content. So let's say you are transcribing your podcast and you're creating a blog post out of it. What value can that blog post bring? Like why would a human want to click into it and read it, read through it, right? Additional information or citations can you provide that you mentioned in the podcast episode that you're creating now into a blog post? Mm-hmm. Focus on that topic authority. So not just what the keywords are, but just think about what kind of questions your people are asking and answer them. Mm-hmm. Just make sure your site speed, your still mobile site speed is improving, your mobile friendliness, user experience is a big thing. And then I don't know if users or people listening will know, but long tail keywords. So this is like, if you think of how you would type something into Google, it's not just going to be, they're not going to just type tacos. They might type in like how to make tacos al pastor. So if for some reason that's what your blog post is about or your website is about, you want to type them in as if a human, or you really want to have those keywords as if a human had asked them. You don't want it to sound robotic, basically. Mm-hmm. Izzy, do you have anything else to add? Izzy's the real whiz at Rebel Marketing when it comes to SEO. I just make things look pretty.
I think you covered it in the nicest way that I could talk about it.
In the nicest way?
Yeah. Well, I've always looked at it when I write stuff, I'm not the greatest at it, but I try to think of, okay, how do I search? What do I put in? Because that's what Google, it's a search engine. So it's, you're asking it to find something. So what I'm writing should try to answer those queries the best it can.
The most basic, think about every page should have the one keyword you want to be found for. And no, it's not going to be like website, right? Or websites. It's not necessarily going to be even websites in Columbus, Ohio. That's just probably going to be harder to rank for. And it might not necessarily be what your people are looking for, right? So it depends on what your business is. But let's say you are a law firm, it might be, try to think of how people would type it in for the services that you provide. So if you focus on startup entrepreneurs, think about what they would be typing into search, and each page would have their primary keyword, because you don't want to, what we call cannibalize, you don't want the pages to basically be fighting with each other on the same website. So every page will have a different, and every blog post will have a different focus keyword, and then maybe some synonyms that you can use within that page that are, again, tying back into that focus keyword. Mm-hmm. And just think about what they're searching for. So they might not be searching for a law firm in Columbus, Ohio. They might be searching for something like startup contracts, or contracts for startup businesses, contracts for small businesses, contracts for handymen, right? Or cleaning companies. So they might be typing something specific, and you can take what you know about your audience and then use those keywords.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So let's wrap it up. And I want to ask you, you know, where should brands focus their time instead of wasting time on this BS? What's the most important stuff, you know, basically top shelf kind of stuff? You know, it's like, this is really what you need to primarily look at. Izzy, I'll let you get started first.
Yeah. So just because it's a short term trend. Don't do it. It's more about the long term. And also don't copy people, because what might be right for them might not be right for you. So I think that's in Yasmin's brand crush Duolingo. They made that whole plan for the whole Duolingo owl for like 5+ years before they even released that he was going to be their mascot and stuff. Wow. And they made a whole thing within their company is that they're doing things for the long term and not the short term. But the people who try to copy them do it in the short term and then never succeed as well as they do.
Right. Yeah.
So
it, yeah,
I think
kind of like it, like somebody making a movie off of a big hit movie, but changing the title of the movie is like, okay, that's a remake of that.
Yes.
Sort of feel to it. Yeah. Yeah.
And just be intentional with what you're posting. Does it sound like you? Do you need to be doing it? Is this worth your time of what you're currently doing? And does it support what you want to see? That's probably my best advice.
Yeah. Yasmin, any thoughts?
Yeah, I would say, you know, as a business owner, we wear a lot of hats. And depending on what size business you have, your time is very limited. And let's say you're doing the podcasting, you're trying to be the website developer, you're trying to be the copywriter, you're trying to do all these things. So think before you take any action, think about, is this the right fit for my audience? Is this the right tone? Is this what I should be posting? Because it could be funny for some other agency, but it might not work for you. Think about what the outcome is. Back to what Izzy said, what is the goal? So you might need to be on TikTok, but you might not need to be on TikTok. We're on TikTok because we're marketers. Whatever business you have, you might not necessarily need to be there. Your audience might not be there. So why add extra work? And then if you are, let's say, posting on LinkedIn and you're revamping what you're posting, keep track of your analytics. Keep track. Just check in on those numbers because you want to make sure that you're getting a return on that energy, or whether it's you're paying somebody to do it, you're getting return on that money, or you're getting return on the time you spent crafting this campaign. That's what I, or you could just hire us, but you know.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, simply put, exactly. And to lead to that point, how can they get a hold of you if that's the case? Like, I got to find out more about you too. What's the best way to contact you, Yasmin?
You can find me on LinkedIn, and that's my hangout spot because that's what I do. You can also find us on our website, myrebelmarketing.com. If you want, we just talked about things you shouldn't be doing, but if you want to get on our newsletter and add a workbook to your to-do list, I know you guys are so excited about it, and audit your marketing, you can download the workbook at myrebelmarketing.com/checklist. Izzy, where can people find you?
I can only be contacted through Carrier Pigeon, so, or LinkedIn works too.
Which may be the same.
Not Carrier Squirrel.
Exactly. Well, good. if you need some podcast help, obviously mypodcastguy.com. Go to my scheduling calendar and we can talk about this stuff. And if nothing else, I may end up pulling one or both of these two ladies in too to talk about something specific if it's to this podcast, the content of this podcast. So thanks again for joining me. I appreciate it. This has been great.
Yeah. Thank you so much.